Come on, you can do better than that. God is so good. He is so good. Oh, somebody shout with a voice of triumph. Amen, amen, amen. That's my King. That's my King. That's my Savior. That's my Redeemer. Who but God can do such things as these? If you know Him, would you worship Him for one more minute? If you know Him, if He brought you out of sin, if He saved you, if He liberated you, if He took a life that was in shambles and made you complete in Him, would you slip your hand up and say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's my Savior, that's my Redeemer. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. I'm not enough, but I'm so glad He came. I wasn't worthy, but I'm not going on my worth. I'm going on His worth. Oh, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When people forsake you, He's still there. When people hurt you, He's still there. When family disappoints you, He's still there. When you disappoint yourself, He's still there. Aren't you so thankful that we got a Savior like that? Amen. He is so good. He is so good. I really do want to follow the leading of the Spirit today. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. So I'm not going to preach long. 2 Chronicles 25. I'm going to read to you and let you sit down and rest a minute. I know some of you folks, it's your only day off. Amen. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, verse 5, and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men. Look at the person beside you and say, that's a lot of dudes. Able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. Look at the person beside you and say, they're skilled. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. Look at him and say, he paid for these guys for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Look at the person beside you and say, that's a lot of dough. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Tell the person beside you, they got mad. Now, if you're going to help me preach, you can sit down. If not, remain standing for the remainder of the service. Thank you. Why are you so mad, soldiers? Well, I'm going to tell you why we're mad. We got a call to go help Amaziah. We got a message that we was going to go to war. We got there, and he sent us home. The problem was these armies weren't like our armies. They wasn't guaranteed a paycheck. The only way that they were blessed is by the spoil that they received from overcoming the opposing army. So these guys got there, and then they were in trouble. The reason they were in trouble, they didn't go to war. He had already paid 100 talents of silver for some of these guys. They got their money. The other guys got mad. That makes sense to me. I'd be mad too. The issue is Amaziah seen that something needed to be done. He got an idea together. The idea was, let's go to war. He was willing to invest in the war. He wasn't just talking. He was willing to invest. There's a lot of people that are willing to talk, but not a lot that's willing to invest. There's a lot of people, even in the church, that can tell you what needs to be done, but not willing to do anything that needs to be done. Amaziah seen a need, and he stepped up, Sam, and he got an idea, and he was willing to invest. Now, he's with these people, and then the prophet of God shows up. The prophet of God begins to speak the word of God. There was a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. There's a group of people here ready to go to war with him, but God sends a message. The message is this, don't let them go with you. There's a teaching lesson in this right off the bat, and that is this. There are some people from your past or even in your present that God's not going to allow to take into your future. There are some people back in the day that aren't a blessing to you today. And there are people in your life today that aren't going to be able to go with you in your future. I love the way one preacher said it. He said, look at the person beside you and say, boo boo and them can't go with you. Because God is taking you into a different level. And not everybody is able to go to that level with you. Am I preaching to anybody? Has God been dealing with your heart or calling you or speaking to you saying it's time to go to a higher place? When you get to that place, not everybody that you're with right now is going to be excited about the place that God is taking you. But you got to make up your mind, am I going to go with them or am I going to go with God? And the choice is yours. He says, don't let them go with you. Don't let them go with you. If you do, if you take them with you, you're going to lose. God is not with them. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. It's important who you align yourself with. It's really important about alignment and who you're in alignment with. You get around the wrong people and they can start to wear you down. You get around the wrong people. Am I preaching or what? You get around the wrong people, Sam, and before you know it, you're thinking unlike yourself. Their thoughts begin to enter into your mind, and you've got an old nature that you deal with on your own. And when their ideas come into that nature, there's a battle that begins to take place. But on the opposite of that, when you get around somebody spiritual, when you get around somebody that's on fire for God, when you get around somebody that's had a relationship, their ideas begin to get implanted in you. Align yourself carefully. Be careful who you align with. Because he's saying, I don't care how hard you fight. You're going to lose. I don't care how skilled you are. You're going to lose because God is not with them. You're going to lose because the people with you, that you're with, God isn't with. He's given him a warning. That now, more so than people, ideas. Getting the army was an idea. There are some ideas that you have right now or you have had in the past that you can't take with you into the future where God has ordained you to walk. You got some preconceived ideas and you live off life's experiences and you've seen the way things have happened in the past and you know it's probably going to happen like that again. I want to preach to you this morning. You got to leave those ideas behind and don't align yourself with those ideas because God is getting ready to take you to a new place. Do you ever get numb in your Christian walk? You ever been in that place where you're not really hanging out with the devil, but you're really not dedicated in your walk to God either. You're just kind of in that, let me say it like this. You're not out drinking and partying up, but you're not praying much either. Anybody ever been there in your Christian walk where you're just numb? I see you bobbing your head. So most of us have been in that place. What do you do when you get in that place? I know what you do. You try to talk yourself into acting better. And this is where people, when you shake their hands, they got all these little lines that they give you no matter what's going on in their life. How you doing? Too blessed to be depressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I don't care what's going on. I'm telling you right now, I've told people. How you doing? Good, good. It wasn't good. We get in the habit of saying things, don't we? How many times somebody say, how you doing? Busy, busy. I say that all the time because 90% of the time I'm busy. But then there was like this slow spot in my life. And somebody said, how you doing? Busy. I said, wait a minute. I'm really not that busy. I'm really not. We get in the habit of talking. We get in the habit of saying things. No matter what's going on, we get in the habit of trying to act like everything's all right. Sometimes you come into the church doors and you're falling apart. And you still smile and you still raise your hand and you're just waiting for the service to get over so you can get out, right? But I'm here to tell you, God's got a plan for you. And in that plan, we got to get rid of some of the ideas that we've held on to for a long time. We got to put some of those things behind us. We got to quit saying that our life experience is what we gauge what's about to happen on. I'm here to tell you, there's a God that's about to send revival. If he don't send it to the church, he's going to send it to you and your family, because I serve a God of resurrection and a God of life, and I got to get rid of those dead thoughts. We got to clean up our stinking thinking, because we do think crazy. I am tired of talking negative. You know why? Because I serve a God who is able. We're getting ready to go to battle. What are you going to do? We're going to hire some people. We're going to talk all these guys into coming to war with us. If they can handle a shield and a spear, they're in. But not only that, we're going to pay out and get some mighty men of valor to come up in here. How much are you willing to pay? I got 100 talents of silver. 100 talents of silver doesn't sound like a whole lot unless you know what a talent is. And since I've heard some of y'all sing and you don't know what talent is, I'll tell you what it is. If we had 100 talents of silver right now, it'd be close to $3 million. Told you that was a lot of dough. He's investing a lot of money. He's making an investment, $3 million he's willing to put up to win this battle. He was serious. Imagine you invest that. There's no return on that investment. You don't get your money back. They're there. And then here comes a preacher. And the preacher, the prophet, comes to you and says, hey, don't let them go up there with you. This makes the question that he asked very important. Let me take you there. Where's he ask it at? Hold on. Let me find this real quick. He says, here we go. Verse 9. Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? That is a fair question. Hey, preacher man, what am I going to do about the $3 million I just invested? Did y'all read ahead? Because if you did, you should be shouting. Notice what the man of God answered. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I'm on shouting ground right there. You mean to tell me I just invested $3 million into this campaign and you're telling me that God is able give me much more than this. Not just a little more, but a whole lot, a huge amount more. That's what kind of God we serve. You're saying, I'm going to lose this, but don't worry about what you lose, because what you lose does not compare to what you gain. When I got saved, I lost some stuff. I lost my hair. I lost some friends. Anybody with me? I lost some people that said they were my friend. I lost some people that I hung around. I lost some places that I used to go. I lost some things that I used to do. I lost some things. And you know what? Some people get so nervous about getting right with Jesus because they're afraid of what they might lose. Well, if you're one of those peoples, let me help you out. What you lose pales in comparison to what you're going to gain. Man, I may have lost some so-called friends, but I gained some brothers. And in God, you always outgain what you lose. Can I preach to you about a God that'll give you much more? Much more. Much more. The Lord giveth. How in the world is she sleeping through this? She is out. That's a Pentecostal baby for sure. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We use that in context of Job, don't we? The Lord gave his family. The Lord took it away, right? It said, the Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you got to read the end of the story. Let me tell you about a Lord that gives and takes away. He took away, but when he gave back double what he ever took from Job. So let me say it like this. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He giveth life and he takes away death. He gives peace and he takes away sorrow. He gives a praise and he takes away the garment of heaviness. He gives me life. He gives me joy. He gives me love. He gives me power. He takes away my sorrow. He takes away my damnation. He took it all away, but he gave it to me. I got much more. I got much more than I ever lost. Much, much, much more. Jacob, you got my scriptures? I got to hurry. I told him I'd preach fast. Where you at, Romans? We're starting in Romans chapter 5. Man, Romans chapter 5 is a good chapter. Remember when we went through that in Sunday school? If you don't, you should. Watch how this verse starts out. What's it say? What? What? Much more. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I may have lost some stuff, but let me tell you what I gained. I am protected from the wrath of God, and that is much more than I could ever obtain in this life. I am protected from the wrath of God. I will never see hell. I'll never see fire. I'll never see damnation. I'll never see any of that. Why? I've been justified by his blood, and that is much more. Much more. High five somebody and say, much more. It's much more. He's got much more. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm telling you about a God that's got much more. If you're here and you've been saved for 2 years, I want to preach to you a God that's got much more. If you've been in this thing for 50 years, I'm here to tell you he's still got much more. Next verse. I don't think we'll leave Romans yet. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Say it's free. 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 It's free. Everybody loves a bargain. This thing's free. It's free. For if through the offense of many, one, many be dead. Y'all gonna catch on in a minute. You're a little slow audience this morning. I know that hour of sleep got you. But this is, yeah, this is where you read. When I stop, you get to take off. Let's try this again. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God. Let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me tell you how it's much more than you could ever imagine. It really is. When you were dead in your trespasses and sin, that's when Christ died for you. When you were a wreck, when you was messed up, that's when Jesus died for you. When did he show his grace to me? When I didn't want anything to do with him. That is much more than anybody in this life was ever willing to give me. I don't want to invest in people that don't want to invest in me. Do you? We call them leeches. Usually family. Steve, I texted a guy the other day. I hadn't talked to him. My phone's telling me we're in a loud environment. My watch says, you're in a loud environment. It's me. Shut up. I mean, it's me. Don't you move your mouth. Sorry. Much more. I don't want to invest in people that don't want to invest in me. I texted a guy the other day. I hadn't talked to him for years. I mean years. And I needed something. So I texted him. And he said, who is this? I said, I'm like family, man. I only text you when I want something. You want to invest in people that don't want to invest in you. But you know what Jesus did? He died for you when you were a mess. You didn't have anything to give him at all. He said, what's that in your hand? You said, nothing. He said, come here. I'll trade you that for much more. You're going to trade me for much more and I don't have anything? That's right. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Do you understand it wasn't really a trade? Because I didn't have anything to give, so it was a gift. Here, you don't have anything. Here's much more, much more, much more, much more, much more, much, 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 much more. Hurry up, Damon. Okay, yes, sir. And the gift of grace, which is by Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all can do this. Abounded? Do you know what abounded means? It means overflowing. When you abound in something, it means there's much more. Oh, I am excited about what I got now compared to what I used to have. Next verse. Ready, Jacob? She wake up. No, that's her. No. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did. Oh, man, y'all with me now. Grace did. Grace did. Grace did. Where what abounded? Sin. Where sin abounded. Where the offense abounded. Where the trespass abounded, where the transgression was overflowing, where oh, come on, y'all got me? Where sin abounded, it was overflowing, it was in excess. Where sin abounded, grace did. Oh, wake up inside, ready? Grace did. Oh, yeah, you're going to get this. Grace did much more abound. I'm here to tell you, I don't care what the sin is. Grace gives so much more than the sin, and God is able. Hurry, hurry. Next verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more? Come on here. How how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? Do you understand that you are walking in abundance? That guy said to me, y'all know this story, I'm going to share it with you again. He shook my hand. I said, how you doing? Too anointed to be disappointed, too blessed to be depressed. He said, how are you? I said, I'm busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted. That's what I told him. I was wrong. I ain't busted. I got... They're getting it over here. Y'all want to try? I'm not broke. I got... If y'all don't know the title of this sermon yet, can't help you. Steve, I got much more. John, I got much more. If you had known me before I knew him, you would understand why I act the way I do. If you knew where I was headed before I met Jesus and found out how I have now compared to what I used to have, you would understand why I hoop and holler and raise my hand and shout. You would understand me if you understood where my eternal destiny was taking me. But I found out about grace that gave me. And now I'm on my way to heaven. And I don't know about you, but I think my praise ought to be much more than I've been giving him because of what he gave me. So I studied Numbers one time because all preachers preach on numbers. And I thought I'd get me a number sermon. Like this number represents this, and if you take Joe Biden and you put the Hebrew letters to it, it means the man of sin and 666, and I wanted to do me one. Come on, I don't know if that's real or not. I just know that everybody that comes in office, they somehow make their name add up to it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Pope is 666, Osama bin Laden was 666, Obama... 666, Joe Biden, 666, they're all 666. They usually have to manipulate some letters. But anyway, beyond all that, I wanted to get me a number message because preachers preach about numbers. And I found me a number in Scripture that's a pretty cool number. It's the number 7. So I said, man, I got me a Scripture. On the number 7, I'm going to study this out and I'm going to preach it and everybody's going to think I'm smart. And I found a scripture in the Bible that said the righteous man falls 7 times. All right, then, we'll start there. The righteous man falls 7 times. Then I read where the priest would go in and sprinkle 7 drops of blood. I said, this is awesome. That means for every sin, there was a drop of blood to cover the 7 times you fall. And that is so good, right? But then I got to the New Testament. And Jesus asked this question. He said, how many times should you forgive your neighbor? They knew the answer. Pick me. 7. 7 times. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. Does anybody know what that equals? What is it? Say it louder. Don't be unsure about yourself. 490. Do you think that Jesus really was telling you? I'll tell you right now, buddy. You're at 489 times today. One more time. One more time, it's on. They knew the answer was 7. David made this proclamation. I am going to worship 7 times a day. That's in your Bible. I said, this is so great. 7 times the righteous man falls, 7 drops of blood, 7 times he worships. It all adds up. It's the perfect 777 cha-ching sermon. But then Jesus messed it up. Because he said, no, not seven, 70 times seven. And I got to adding it up, and I don't know how many times you have fallen, but I have fallen more than seven times. Thomas, me and you, the only ones. Well, yeah, no, thank you. Anybody here fail more than seven times? That messed up my whole sermon. Well, then I got to the cross and I figured out he didn't just shed seven drops of blood. He shed it all. So I have sinned more than seven. He has forgiven more than seven. So I think I ought to worship more than seven. So the Bible says, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Oh. So you know what? Every time I've fallen, the blood has forgiven. And you know what? It still has so. Oh, come on, Israel. Y'all the small side. Y'all got to be the loud side. Y'all out of rhythm. It's your problem. One, two, three. Okay, you sounding good. You know how many times he can forgive me? Much more. How many times I'm gonna praise him? Much more. Much more. Much more. How much more? If you don't like worship and praise and glorifying God, you probably ought not to go to heaven. Because you know how much worship's gonna be going on up there compared to what we're doing here? Much more. How long is it going to last? How long does a worship set last in heaven? Well, we need this to go about, Dave, I don't know, five songs, four songs, three songs, two songs. It's going to be eternal. And that's much more than I have here. So I'm just warming up. Just warming up. Man, I want you to realize he has given you so much more. So much more than you could ever obtain on your own. He said, what about this $3 million, man? I mean, I've invested. And I know some of y'all have invested in things and people and ideas. And God's getting ready to move you past that and give you. So you gotta let some of that stuff go. You know when Job was on that boat, Jonah? Was Job on a boat? He could have been. But his great-great-great-great-great cousin was. When Jonah got on that boat, can you imagine that conversation? I'm closing, I promise. I'm picking up my kickstand. I'm getting ready to pull out of here. When he was on that boat, can you imagine that conversation? Everything was good until what? Until the storm, right? And man, when the storm hits, that's when it, right? That's when you find out who your friends are, right? Storm hits. So the storm hit. You know what they did, Karen? They start unloading all their tools and their tackle. They're throwing everything overboard. And all that stuff that's thrown overboard wasn't going to help them. Because the problem was, there was a guy on the boat that wasn't aligned right. So imagine this conversation, how this goes down. So what do y'all think the problem is? It's me. Excuse me? It's me. It's you? It's me. Could you have not told this earlier to us? Because I just lost my favorite net. It's me. So they decide This couldn't be an easy decision, right? What should we do with him? Are you serious? It's hard to throw some people overboard, ain't it? You've invested a lot in them. Some of you have lost a lot of stuff for. You've lost a lot of sleep, a lot of prayer, a lot of food. You've been fasting. Is anyone talking to anybody? You've lost a lot for them. It's like, man, you know, I'm going to a different level, and I hate to pitch you over right here, but you got to go. So they take him. Throw him overboard. Do you know what's so awesome about that? When they threw him overboard, they put him in the exact place he needed to be, in the hands of his God. Can I preach to you for just a few minutes? Because you've been praying for him. You've been fasting for him. And you don't want to let go of him. You can't save him anyway. So don't throw your tools and your tackle overboard. Put them in the hand of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but God had a fish prepared for him. Prepared for him. God can get him, Brandon. God can get him. Because we serve the God of much more than I can give them. So you know what? I'm just going to give them to God. Give them to God. Keep on selling. I'm going somewhere. Are you going with me? You got a good song for this? What you got?